Let's turn together, please, to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We started last week with a brief introduction to the book of Proverbs, and so we're going to spend the next few weeks just kind of hitting a few highlights within the book, hopefully to whet our appetites a little bit to dig farther into the book, that we might benefit from these pieces of wisdom that Solomon wrote down for us, but the ultimate source was God Himself. It is God speaking to us and God sharing with us this wisdom that we find within His book. I'll remind you of verse 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And then verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." And Solomon spends a pretty good amount of time building on these two verses, this idea of listening to your father's instruction, listen to your mother's instruction. And as parents, we work pretty hard to raise up our kids and instill them with values that will benefit them, instill them with the things that will enable them to live a life that is relatively free from difficulty. And one of the most difficult things that you can do as a parent is when your children reach adulthood is to see them make mistakes and see them have to reap the consequences of those mistakes. So a lot of what we're doing is trying to instill within them exactly what Solomon is doing, which is listen to these things so that you can avoid these particular consequences. I talked to you last week a little bit about, you know, the idea of continuing to need that counsel. Just because we reach adulthood doesn't mean that suddenly we don't need any counsel anymore. We don't need any wisdom anymore. And certainly we always need wisdom from God, but we also need wisdom from others around us too. And so for those of you that are old enough that you don't have your parents that you look to anymore, you've probably got children that you are still trying to give some measure of guidance to them, not in some manner where we're trying to control their lives and their choices, but again, to help them avoid some of the pitfalls that maybe we had to go through ourselves. There's been a few things that have happened during my life that I've thought about in recent years and thought about in terms of kind of wish somebody had given me a heads up about that one. I would have liked to have avoided that particular situation. And so that becomes a motivation. I've always tried to be honest with my sons about certain things and mistakes that I've made in my life so that they can learn from them and build on what I'm trying to share with them. And so we're going to need the counsel of God, and especially if we have godly parents, we'll need that counsel as well, because that's based upon experience, which we talked about last week as well. And if you are that parent, then you need to still be providing the benefits of your experience. But he says, fools, they despise wisdom and they despise instruction. And sometimes people are like that. They just have this mentality of leave me alone. I'm going to do it my way. You're not going to tell me which way to go. You're not going to tell me how to get it done. And sometimes we watch people like that and think, well, you're going to reap the consequences of not listening to the wisdom or the experience of others. And so counsel that follows right after an admonition is meant to help you avoid what the admonition is describing or talking about. And we see that within the book of Proverbs as well. Later on in chapter 1, you've got wisdom crying aloud in the street, raising their voice, crying out, you know, Give ear to me, listen to me, follow the things that I have can share with you. And then moving on from there, he talks about different things that young people find themselves dealing with, which is, you know, companionship that they might have, the allure of a forbidden woman, those types of situations. And so there is an admonition, a warning, and then here, do this, and that'll help you avoid that situation. And so that's a lot of times what we find with wisdom. Regarding parents, though, there's a special responsibility for us. There's a special responsibility because we have been given children. children that are a blessing from the Lord, but also are that responsibility. And in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3, it says, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Revere his father and mother. We talked a little bit about reverence and fear this morning in our Bible class. Respect is one of those underlying tones within that idea of revere father and mother. Now, as I mentioned this morning, I'm not perfect. Nobody else is perfect. Your parents, I'm sure that you recognize that they probably had some flaws. There were some things that maybe they did that weren't ideal. But that doesn't mean that they didn't have any value. And especially if you had godly parents, they did their best to try to instill within you that respect for God. But listening to our parents or gaining wisdom or sharing wisdom as a parent means that your knowledge is valuable. Knowledge that you've gleaned from the Word of God, experience that you have in applying that Word of God to various situations in life. I think one of the difficulties that children have and young people have is taking that principle that you read in the Scripture and then coming across some situation in daily life and drawing the two together and saying, hey, I remember this verse has something to do with this. Sometimes it's easy, but sometimes it's not as evident. And sometimes that guidance along the way can help us connect the dots and see how we might be able to use the wisdom of God within some of those situations. But our parents know us better than anybody. I mean, think about all the time we spend feeding our children and clothing them and, you know, providing for them. And providing for them is not just about making sure they had clothes to wear and that their shoes didn't wear out and that they had, you know, food to eat in the evenings, those types of things. Providing for them meant nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so we spend all of those years not just molding our children, but knowing our children. They have different personality traits. You have to address them in a little bit different way. And sometimes that's a trial and error basis. I'll be honest about that. You know, my two have very different personalities, especially regarding, you know, teaching them with homeschooling and some of the difficulties or when they'd get overwhelmed. You had to deal with them in a little bit different way. And honestly, you know, it was trial and error for a while till you figure out, you know, what's the best way to deal with them. Sometimes that's a matter of how they learn, and sometimes it's a matter of personality. But parents have the potential to provide better advice than anybody else because they have a pretty good idea about their own kids. I'm sure you know your children. It doesn't matter how long it's been since they've been in your home, you have a pretty good idea about their personalities, about their inclinations, maybe even some of the things that might test them, that might be an issue for them in life. And so we have the potential then to provide better advice than anybody else does, especially when that advice is based upon the Word of God. Yes, they're going to have teachers as they grow up. They might even have counselors. But those are people that have such a specified role and a limited amount of time that they're not going to know those kids the way you do. Your children and your relationship with them is different than any other relationship that they will have with anyone, even with their spouses. Now, we surround ourselves with friends, but friends can have ulterior motives. They can have different motivations in what they might tell us. But as parents, our motivation to speak to our children and guide them, especially as godly parents, is I want you to be a Christian. I want you to be faithful. I want you to receive the reward that is promised through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do everything that I can as long as I'm around in order to help you do that. And so that should be our motivation. But that experience is valuable too. Your parents For those of you that are younger, they've been where you are. I know that society changes, technology changes, and all those different things. And it's hard to look at your parents and see them where you are. But believe it or not, we were newlyweds at one time. We were struggling to figure out how to make a living and balance work life and all those different things that come with newly married. And those of you that have young children, yes, your parents at one time, they had young children. It was you. They had to figure out how to deal with you. And now here you are trying to figure out how to deal with your kids. Experience is valuable. And the interesting thing about gaining wisdom from parents, and I appreciate this more as I get older, is when I talk to my parents, it's not a matter of me telling them something's going on and expecting them to tell me what to do. And they don't expect to do that either. But what they do is relate that experience, what they learned from it, so that I can make a choice. You see, gaining wisdom from your parents, listening to their instruction, is not necessarily about saying, all right, here, you just make the decision for me. No, it's about sharing what you've learned through your knowledge and your experience so that a conclusion can be drawn. And I realize sometimes as parents, we'd like to make the decision for them because we know it's a big one and we know that it's, you know, something that maybe they're on the fence about. We'd love to walk up to the fence and push them over to the right side, but that doesn't work that way. It doesn't usually happen that way. Turn over to chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, and look at verse 1. Proverbs 4 and verse 1. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom and get insight and do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. He says, it becomes this chain. My dad talked to me and shared things with me, and now I'm doing the same thing with you. And let's just put this in hypothetical terms for a moment. His dad is a godly man. He shares those godly principles with his son. That son uses those godly principles, builds upon them with more knowledge and more experience, and passes them down. Doesn't it seem like each generation might benefit even just a little bit more from that experience and that wisdom being handed down? And I also realize that there's kind of a time period in a young person's life in which they're less likely to listen. There's a time period when they are less likely to even seek out that wisdom and that instruction. But let me tell you, if you find yourself in those periods of life where you don't want to listen, just set aside ego a little bit, just set aside your preconceptions about what adulthood might have been like, and just listen to that wisdom. George Washington, I shared this with you when Mother's Day came around. He said, the greatest teacher I ever had was my mother. And the interesting thing is that we can do so much teaching without really saying a whole lot. We don't have to be able to give a dissertation on a topic to be able to have something to share. Sometimes what we teach is also about example, setting a standard. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Looks at that upbringing and says, this has benefited me. It has brought me to the point that I am and will continue to be a guide in my life. Parents often have accumulated a lot of wisdom. Sometimes that wisdom, as we talked about last week, is gained from the school of hard knocks. But hopefully a good chunk of it is because we're following what the Bible tells us. And so children with Christian parents are blessed with that wisdom. Proverbs 15 and verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. And so this wisdom is so valuable that he even describes it in terms of like jewelry, a graceful garland for your head, pendants for your neck. Well, maybe we don't use garlands and pendants quite the way that he's describing there, but whatever terms you put it in, think about the way you might dress up for a really special occasion. For us, that was probably Alex's wedding. And, you know, I went and got a new suit coat for it. I got some pocket squares so I could dress up the suit coat a little bit. That's probably the extent of mine. You know, Audrey was kind of going through her wardrobe, figuring out what she was going to do. We talked about, you know, some clothing. And it was a special day. It was a day in which we wanted to go above and beyond. So whatever that might be for you, just think about, you know, you would want to look really nice for a particular day. But here he says, if you follow the instruction of your parents, it's like that. It's like above and beyond. It's like something special for you. And it's something special that other people notice. My brothers and sisters are quite a bit older than me. The closest in age is my sister Lisa, the one who is struggling with cancer right now, at close to 10 years older than I am. And when I hit middle school and then started getting into high school, I started hearing teachers talking about my brother. And it wasn't always a positive context. Some of it was, you're not going to be like your brother, are you? But whenever they would say, you know, I can see you and your brother somewhat alike, I didn't like that too much. I didn't care for it. And if you really think about it, the only reason that there was any similarity between us is because of the household that we lived in. You gain things from the people that you're around. Siblings or parents, either one. There's some similarities there because we live through the same things and the same instruction. And while he and I are very different people, yeah, there's some similarities because of our parents. And that wisdom, that valuable wisdom, should be something that is attractive about us to other people. They should be able to look at us and say, you know, I kind of like being around you. You've always got something wise, or you're prudent, or as we talked about this morning, you're always blessing with the things that you say. You're benefiting me. You're benefiting those that are around us. And so this wisdom becomes this adornment. Adam Clark talks about this. He says, it is a filial respect and obedience that will be as ornamental to thee as crowns, diadems, and golden chains and pearls are to others. Something that stands out. Something that is noticeable. John Gill goes on to describe it and says, the instructions and laws of parents being attended unto and obeyed by children render them more lovely and amiable than any beautiful adornment, whatever, that can be put upon their heads. Children that respect their parents, listen to the wisdom that they have, heed their counsel, are made more attractive by these things. But think about the ugliness of disrespect. Children that don't follow anything about their parents. Rebellious children. When you see a child that is rebellious, what do you think the future holds for such an individual? Now, maybe they'll grow out of it. Maybe they'll learn. But if they don't let go of that rebelliousness and they grow up, that rebelliousness to parents becomes rebelliousness to society, to government, that can lead to all sorts of problems. And they'll have a difficult time having meaningful personal relationships, and they'll have a difficult time being a functional member of our society. When we talk about the family being the basic unit of our society, and when the family breaks down, the society breaks down, part of that is heeding instruction, respecting authority. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 1, it says, "The words of Agur, son of Jacob, the oracle, the man declares, 'I'm weary, O God, I am weary, O God, and worn out.'" And he begins to describe, and he gets down to verse 11. He says, "There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers." It was on his mind. It was problematic. It was distressing that they did not honor their parents. And Proverbs warns of the tragic end of those that live in such a state. Proverbs 30 and verse 17, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. You will reap terrible consequences." Chapter 20 and verse 20, "If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness." Again, our parents aren't perfect. None of you has been the perfect parent. You've made mistakes. This is not about perfection. This is not about looking at your parents and seeing perfection. We can see flaws and still respect them. We can see flaws and realize that they are human beings just like we are. They're going to make mistakes. And we can see flaws and set those aside over here and dig for the godly wisdom that they've given to us. And it's interesting that even those that are unbelievers still instill some measure of things that we find within the Bible to their children, because they have become natural. It is what our Creator has shared with us about what a family should be. Let's go over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21. Deuteronomy, chapter 21. When we talk about, you know, the old law, and we talk about, you know, honoring parents, this might be a passage that you think about from time to time. Chapter 27 and verse 16 of the book of Deuteronomy says, "Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother," and all the people shall say, "Amen." There was an expectation. Honor your father and your mother. It was part of the law. It was part of what was expected. That hasn't changed. We're told under the New Testament as well to honor our father and our mother. But in that old law, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9 says, "Anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him." Sometimes we talk about that verse and somebody asks, "Well, what does that look like? I mean, the first time a kid's rebellious whatsoever, you just drag him out there and everybody stones him?" I don't think that's what it looks like. I think it becomes a pattern of behavior that has a tipping point, and I'm sure they understood what that was. I don't have anything that tells me exactly what that tipping point was for them. But in chapter 21 of Deuteronomy, verse 18, it says, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, he will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of the city, 'This is our son. Our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard.'" That kind of tells you that we're not talking about a small child. Glutton and drunkard. "Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, so you shall purge the evil from your midst." So part of the intention of the old law was the well-being of society, the well-being of the Israelite people as God's people. Purge this evil from amongst you. But it was also about parents doing their job. Because notice it says, "Well, not listen to them," so they've talked. They've disciplined him and it doesn't work. So they've done their steps. They've done their job in trying to deal with this particular individual. but it has been unsuccessful. Children that do not honor their parents, they were harshly judged by the people and by God in Old Testament times. And we have the same commandments today to honor our father and our mother. And so, here we are under the law of Christ. Law that is characterized by grace, by long suffering, by mercy. But look at Romans chapter 2 with me for a moment. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2, and look with me beginning in verse 4. Romans 2 and verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because you're hard and impenitent heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself. On the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed, he will render to each one according to his works. We have everything that we do, everything that we say, every action that we take, God sees those things. And he's certainly willing to extend his mercy to us. But as his children, we have to be listening to him. We have to be honoring him. We have to be accepting his admonitions and his discipline. Otherwise, we abuse his grace and his mercy, and that's not going to go well for us. Not at all. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do, but in the Lord, that guidance that they have gained from the Word is what they try to instill upon others. Jesus did this for his parents. And when we talk about the childhood of Jesus, people ask all sorts of questions about the childhood of Jesus. But we're given very little about the childhood of Jesus. And I think that's on purpose. That's not where we need to know information about him. But those glimpses that we do see, he was an exceptional child, wasn't he? He honored his parents. And he honored his heavenly Father as well. As Jesus increased in wisdom, so did his favor with God and man. People noticed what kind of character he had even as a child. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Solomon says, that's how you gain favor with man, is by following and binding these things on ourselves that God has shared, that your parents share. So what does that tell us when it says that Jesus grew in favor with God and man? It means that he followed those wisdom principles that we find that we're studying today. And so we need to do our job as parents, and we need to do our job as children, whether we're grown up or not. If you're here this evening, and you realize that there is some need for repentance in your life, if you realize that there has been some weak or frailty, that you have gone off of the path of walking in the light, then it's time to make that correction. It's time to come back to him. Number 644 has been chosen as an invitation song. If we can help you in these spiritual matters, please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.